A Hotep, brothers and sisters. Hotep means peace. So when you hear someone say Hotep, your response is Hotep. Hotep, brothers and sisters. Free the land, brothers and sisters. Power to the people, brothers and sisters. Certainly an important change of affairs to have this type of activity at the college and in the community. So I want to first of all congratulate those in the leadership and those in the following church that have made this weekend possible. So let's again give them an acknowledgement. And of course, he likes to play a role in the back, but I want to give him a special acknowledgement. Attorney at War, McGuire. Let's give it. His history should be studied. Several books and DVDs should be made about his various levels of struggle. So Ron, put your hand in the air so people can see who you are. Okay. As a mover and a shaker, very talented individual, committed, and so I had to make that acknowledgement. And of course, one of our Tiger Cubs who has grown in the struggle. So let's give Mark an acknowledgement. So there are many others I can see in the audience that would like to acknowledge, but I'm just going to say I'm glad we're here. As a family in struggle, a family in crisis, and if we're going to be able to take advantage of the possibilities that are before us, then we're definitely going to have to agitate, educate, and organize. So I was glad that that whole question of getting ready and understanding your organizational power has been raised. An overview, an understanding, a systems analysis is necessary. We're going to move institutions, produce the coalitions, understand the difficulties ahead, deal with historical conflicts that have to be removed. And so we've got to be honest with each other. And I've been at the college since 1969. So I've gotten old at the college. Next birthday in a couple of months will be 72. But it's been wonderful. Because of the opportunity to struggle. I could have taken a position at Columbia. There wouldn't have been much opportunity to struggle. I could have taken a position at the University of Chicago. There wouldn't have been much opportunity to struggle. I was offered positions at all of these schools, but I wanted to go to City. Because it's part of an important historic community, a hall, an important historic city, New York. And so I'm glad that's where I made my decision, to struggle. Frederick Douglass said it best, and we all need to appreciate it. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. This is a brother who fought his way out of enslavement, a system that was designed to destroy his humanity and process him out of the human family. But he struggled to restore his humanity along with a whole host of others, including my ancestors and yours, to fight to restore that humanity that's necessary for us to appreciate struggle. So he left us with these very empowering words. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom, yet deprecate agitation, are men who want the crops without plowing up the ground, they want the rain without the thunder lightning, they want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. The struggle may be a moral one, it may be an ethical one, but it must be a struggle. Went on to say, this is from someone who was enslaved, who was not considered human in the context of America, was considered property. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did It never will. So until you are organized for power, nothing is going to happen. The foundation of this world structure, which we call globalism, is shaking as we speak. It's an opportunity to organize powerfully the base, people's power. The rich cats at the top have shown that they cannot make it work. They've done everything to suck everybody in to their network. The most significant progressive ideologically left part of the world was the Union of Soviet Republics and their neighbor, the People's Republic of China. And they were sucked into the globalism of the Western world. So we have to have a deep analysis and understand these things. The People's Republic of China, Mao Zedong's People's Republic of China, is being asked to bail out Wall Street and other Wall Streets around the world. And it's actually happening. We need to analyze these things. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics has now been reduced to where we have the wars like we just had around Georgia and other places. We've got to have an analysis. Now, some of these things I'm raising are much too significant for you to deal with. But you need to know that's a part of the process. You've got to deal with yourself. You have to deal with the people around you. You have to deal with the organizations and institutions that you can influence. But it's going to be difficult. As I tell black folk, we need to organize. We're a global community of a billion people around the world. But it's hard for us to organize, even though everybody knows we should, and even though we're good at it. Why the difficulty? Because we're suffering from an understanding, a lack of understanding, that my great partner, Dr. Wade Nobles, has raised in a document he just produced on slavery and the impact of slavery in the slave trade and system. We're suffering from shattered consciousness and fractured identities. And until we can deal as individuals and as groups and as families with this question of shattered consciousness and fractured identities, we can't form the unity that will move us in the direction we have to go. Workers of the world unite, but how can you if your consciousness has been shattered? Black and brown people, the dominant people of the universe, 9/10 of the planet is black and brown people. In China, India, Indonesia, South America, Africa. But if you have a fractured identity and you can't see the brother and sister that's within your world, you can't pull together the meaningful coalition. So we've got to look at this thing large. This is going to be a fantastic weekend. I'm sorry I can't share it with you. I'll be here tonight. I'm here. I'll be there tomorrow morning. But then I have to get on Amtrak and get to Baltimore to deal with shattered consciousness and fractured identities of black folk like yourself who are trying to organize in Baltimore. They specifically asked me to come down and deal with this inability to maintain organization, to maintain a plan, to maintain direction, to have a sacred mission. And after I leave Baltimore, I'll come back here to New Jersey, New York, and then get on a plane in the morning Sunday and go to Atlanta to try to do the same thing, trying to form a world organization called World African Diasporic Union, WADU. Who the hell would come up with something like that? You know, you could organize black people and brown people, their cousins worldwide. Well, you can't achieve what you don't conceive. If you can't conceive a unity of people that need to struggle, that are in the same boat and it's sinking, and they need to come up with some plans to save themselves, if you can't conceive it, you can't achieve it. And so that's why I hope that this forum will produce a movement that will move in that direction. Us conceiving what we need to do, and then putting in place those plans that have to take place. If you don't plan, you plan to fail. One of our great brothers, he said, black folk Too many significant things, they've made many important gains, but they're in trouble because of the lack of dealing with power. So he came up with his 1,000-page analysis of what we need to do as an African community in America. And he calls it Blueprint for Black Power. Dr. Amos Wilson, someone who understood struggle, he came from Mississippi. Anybody born in Mississippi has 10 strikes against them, not 3. A black man born in Mississippi is born underground. But he came up and began to move on the world. And then he went to Atlanta. And there he faced another challenge, trying to get the best education he could. And that best education was questionable because of shattered consciousness and fractured identities. That education was at Morehouse. The best male education offered to black men in the world. But I'm telling you a little secret. Don't tell anybody else. It's not good enough. It's a Negro education. It's an education to accommodate and to be a part of the system. And he survived that Negro education at Morehouse. And then he made his way to New York. And you have to forgive me, we're in a Catholic enterprise. But he had to deal with the education coming out of the Catholic schools, the Jesuit education, Ron, the Benedictine education, the Franciscan education, that doesn't lead to pulling that consciousness together to see the global community, and doesn't lead to you identifying with all the people who are our family that need to be identified with. And he went before them, and he survived that. So this brother knows that it can happen. If you can survive Mississippi, 10 strikes, Morehouse, another 5 strikes, Jesuit education, another 10 strikes, and then come up with breaking out of that box and planning how you pull people together, how you use institutions and make them work. So what we're hoping that will happen this weekend is that you will get the energy and the insight to be able to talk about a blueprint for people's power. A blueprint for people's power. As I move around the world, I'm working with young people like yourself on what I'm referring to as a blueprint for Pan-Africanism. That means organizing black people wherever they are to struggle for this larger good of what we should be all about. That means when I go to Brazil, I'm trying to deal with 100 million black people in Brazil to mobilize, to organize, so that you don't remain the descendants of slaves in Brazil. But it's hard. Because in Brazil, you talk about shattered consciousness and fractured identities. The black and brown people in Brazil have created 50 different races based upon the size of the lips, the texture of the nose, texture of the hair, color of the skin. So how can we form a unity of the poor and oppressed in Brazil when they have this shattered consciousness and this fractured identity? They can't see them as all oppressed in the system. They're all climbing up to find a little accommodation with the power elite. Go to the islands of the Caribbean. The same process. Got a connection with the Dominican Isle that's shared by Haiti. But we need to study the conflict, the shattered consciousness, the fractured identity of the island of Hispaniola, shared 2/3 Dominican, 1/3 Haiti, and you'll see the conflicts that we have, and the problems and the challenges that we have. It should be one island community working to deal with the exploitation that came out of slavery and the genocide of the native population, the continued exploitation of the poor. But instead, we got conflicts that we got to overcome. Go to Trinidad and Tobago, 2-island nation, and you have the people who should be one on that little island. But the people in Trinidad look at the people in Tobago as Bush. Conflict. Go to St. Croix for a conference. Meet this brother from Negus. And his biggest problem is not how we can unify, how we can go together, how can we deal with the super rich and make sure that wealth is restructured for the poor. He's worried about, Dr. J, I got a problem. What is it, brother? I got a problem with the people in St. Kitts. So what's your problem? Well, you know, they're different from me. It's a two-island community where the adult population can fit in the upper deck of Yankee Stadium. And they are seeing each other as enemies and not as a unit of a potential massive struggle that we have to put together. So we need to know what we're up against. City College, CUNY, is an opportunity that has to be taken care of. A quarter of a million of our youngsters, mainly black and brown, is the greatest institution of people of color in the world. CUNY, City College, is still the flagship of that. No matter how much gentrification, and in order to do it, they're into contradiction and conflict. In order to gentrify the City University, they have to make the largest population block in the planet, the Asian population, honorary whites. So in order to gentrify City College, you've got to bring in a whole host of Asians. We got to tell the Asians, hey brother, we're one family. Let's bond together, let's build coalition together, let's share this struggle together. And we got to understand that. Let me leave you with some little professorial Jeffrey's analysis. My thing is systems analysis. Most people have no idea who the hell I am. They've seen us, seen the newspapers and read to this and read to that. But in analyzing this area here, these heights, I reference a literary historical point in history when some great writer talked about a tale of two cities. I always use that reference because I talk about a tale of two hills. One hill called Morningside Heights, where Columbia University is, and another hill called, what do we call, Hamilton Heights, where City College is. You need to analyze those two hills. Analyze what they mean for the educational system of New York. Analyze what they mean for your future, your current situation, and the future. I got 2 degrees from Columbia. When I went there, there was 1 or 2 black people in the area of political science, economics, development, and international affairs where I studied. The people were here at City College. But City College is now faced with an elite process. The powerful forces have put their people on the board of higher education, and they're hoping to gentrify City College. That means whiten it up with honorary peoples of color. Honorary people coming from Bangladesh, coming from China, coming from Indonesia, coming from Iran. It's happening before our very eyes. The doors were opened up by black and brown youngsters. At the point that they opened it up in the struggle in 1969, it was black and Puerto Rican. The Dominicans weren't even a factor at that time. Now look at the history. Spent the last 40 years on these two hills. And I'm telling you, the hill over there is producing the people to permanently run the system of oppression, the capitalist system. It has perfected it. You walk in the doors, and when you walk out the doors, you'll be serving the masters of capital. City College was another space. It's supposed to be a people's university, open to all of the peoples, public institution. But it's under attack now to be turned around into an elite structure, into an engineering, architecture, scientific center that will be doing what? Trying to get money from Dow Chemical and government grants to produce cleaner and better bombs and whatnot. The technology, the science is not going to serve the world. It's not going to be green technology. It's not going to be technology understanding how we can use the resources of the planet for the people. So, what I want to say to you is you're involved in a great struggle to save yourself and find a sacred dimension and a sacred mission for yourself to add to where your ancestors have come and where your children need to go. You have a chance to bond with organizations and institutions and people who have experienced struggle, have experienced defeat, but have gotten up off the ground and are continuing to move together. You have the opportunity to lay out a blueprint for people power, giving it the various ideological dimensions you think it should have. I'm not at the City University because the pay is good or the administration is very successful. I'm there because the people are there. The representatives of the global community are there. And if I get a chance to put a little spark in them to renew themselves and understand that what change is all about. And Obama didn't invent change. He stepped into it. The creator invented change. The creative process is change. It's about change, transformation, and rebirth. Change, transformation, and resurrection. Change, transformation, and restoration. And that's what we should all be about. Power to the